just a bloke in a bar.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another Packer Up, boys. And it's time to open a beer can. A beer can or a can of beer? Oh, that tastes like The Weeknd, baby. That tastes like The Weeknd. And I'm not talking about the singer. I'm talking about actual Weeknd. Make sure to grab a case of Bloke Beer from your local. It's a beautiful, easy-drinking lager. Goes down an absolute treat. And it is the beer of rugby league. But the great Shandor is back. What's going on, brother?
Thank you. How are you, my man?
Mate, very, very good. Mate, where you been? What's been going on?
Mate, I've been travelling around Australia, recently in America, but yeah, just made the move to Sydney, so yep. Come full circle out in the west.
Oh yeah.
West in the west.
Are you living out west?
Yeah, I'm living out west.
Holy heckers. What prompted out west? Because that's where the air locker is?
Yeah, so I've just set up a home base performance hub out in Rouse Hill, so mate, I think last time I lived there was back in the Penrith days out in Windsor, so yeah.
Stop it. Matty, how you been, bros?
I'm good. It's good to have you back.
No, he's not actually a shaded out character in a Street Fighter video game where you've got to unlock him. We've just got to work on a bit of lighting issues currently.
It will be good next week. It's not that I'm looking at myself now. If there was three of me, it wouldn't look so bad. But then I put you two on.
Especially so bad, or
mate, because in real life right now you're looking dark as.
Oh, really?
I can barely see you, mate. Went to America. What are you doing in America? Speak to me.
Opened our first air locker.
Holy. Mate,
unreal.
What was that like?
San Diego. It was so cool. Mm. I think San Diego.
One of the greatest cities in the world. The Germans discovered it.
Really?
Actually means a whale's vagina.
I'll use that next time I'm there. But no, it was good, man. Like, to open up in America was one of those moments. You would have experienced the same thing with your business and just getting there, like, wow, how have we gotten to this point? But yeah, it was really cool. We're really well received. And even in that week, you know what it's like? You spend some time in Vegas, it's just a different world. I had the number one college basketball athlete in the Western Conference come through. Mm. Next day, you had the billionaire CEO of ClickUp, and it's just crazy the people you meet. So the start of a big journey is pretty cool.
It's just America, when you get over there, you realize how small we are in Australia.
Even San Diego, it's not that big, but their population is, 12.5 million. It's nearly half of Australia's population. Yeah. It's not even a big city. It's crazy.
Insane. And so what's the plan for Western Sydney? Like, is it to open more? Is it to open less?
Yeah, I guess where we started, Newcastle, that was our home base. And we've got five studios there. They're all going really well. So now to support Sydney. But for me, like, I do all my fancy title, performance director, do all the programming, the coaching, education. But I kind of worked out of an office. So it's good for me to be back in a studio and build a little bit of a hub out there. And it's such a growing area. I just moved to a suburb, Box Hill, and there's houses everywhere. So it's booming out there.
Man, how good, good. Don't forget, guys, this episode of Packer Up Boys brought to you by Sportsbet. Give us a follow on feed. The great Dan Orange, he has admitted to being a Nepo baby. He literally admitted to it.
A what baby?
A Nepo baby. So basically, nepotism.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Nepo baby. That's basically people that have really rich parents that are connected that get a leg up in life.
Yeah, right.
And so Dan Orange, also known as Dan Gorringe in AFL circles, he's the Nepo baby of Sportsbet. So he's with Sportsbet, but they make ads for him to try to get followers to pump up his numbers. Whereas Bloke, we're battlers. We get the job done. We don't need no help from anyone. Anyway, so he's admitted to being a Nepo baby, Dan Orange. And I think that's funny. It's like you go through the time, like literally the thousands of years of histories of leaders that lose the support of the people, because the people support Bloke and the numbers reflect that. And this is the calm before the storm for Dan Orange, where he thinks he's a bit bigger than his boots. He's become a dictator where he literally said he runs Sportsbet. And so he's lost his connection with the people, and that's when the people rise up and you see public displays of, let's just say, removing him from power.
Take back the power.
The only difference is he has no power. He has no power. Very unathletic, not powerful guy. Look, can
is
run.
This a personal vendetta?
Well, he attacked the bloke community. Right. He caught us joke in a bar.
Wow.
Now, he's athletic in the sense that great cardio, and he obviously played AFL professionally, so he's athletic.
Yep.
Great cardio, but not an explosive guy. Not an explosive guy.
Not a national champion either.
Also hasn't won a national title for the 800 metres or a state title for the 100, 200, 400, 800 cross country. Yeah, he hasn't done that. So he's admitted to being an Nepo baby. So guys, get around the feed. I'll tell you what, I'll give him credit. The AFL, they're getting around him. So NRL, get around the feed. You go to More, go to your Sportsbet app, open it up now, go to More, go to feed, type in Denon or Bloke, and it'll come up. Give us a follow. You can see everything that I'm punting on. You can copy my bets, and basically on Monday, we'll go through what I got right, what I got wrong. And as I said, NRL, we have to beat AFL. We can't allow these guys to beat us. And I...
Also, look, spray him in the comments.
Also, just Nepo Baby. Actually, don't, you know what? Don't go to his YouTube channel because that gives him engagement. True. So you just don't go there. No. He's actually... his stuff is really funny. He's really good at what he just started a new podcast. So I'm obviously the audience already knows this, but Shandor, you wouldn't know this.
Yes.
He's got a big podcast in AFL and he's actually really talented. I think he's got 9 million TikTok followers.
Wow.
And so again, for my audience, like, he's a TikTok guy. Fucking TikTok. Nepo Baby TikTok guy. Like, there's checklist. Yeah, checklist of Derek. Like, if you had, like, in the dictionary, you look up Derek, it'd be a TikTok plus a Nepo Baby. He actually is fucking hilarious. Really talented guy. But anyway, let's get into it. Hey, Roosters defeat the Knights. Joey Manu running for the record amounts of meters. 370 meters in a game. Never been done before in an NRL game.
The Aussie fullback in the coach's box and then that rolls in.
The Kiwi fullback just rolls in, golden boot.
Just has a game.
Mate, he must be such a headache for the Roosters because although Teddy is one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, like, he comes in and does that and it's like, how do we get this guy more involved without ruining the structure of our team? He was absolutely incredible last night.
Do you think he wants to play fullback?
Yeah, 100%, yeah? I think. Yeah, for sure. I think that's a big reason why he's most likely going to leave for rugby union, is to play a position other than, you know, sitting out in the centre. Essentially, being the main guy, I'd assume, anyway.
I'll ask you straight off the bat. Even though he said he's not going to, Teddy's contract finishes in 2025. Joey Manu's going next year. Do you reckon Joey Manu could be the Roosters' fullback in 2026?
Maybe, and if that's the case, like, maybe they're just like, look, go get your payday, get your $1 million, come back, we'll have $1 million ready for you when you come back or more. I will say what was really, interesting about last night or really good for Joey is he had a try assist with some great ball playing. Yep. That's been the only knock on Joey.
Yep. That was my biggest note. Like, yes, 370 meters, but we know he can do that. That's what he's always been, like, we've always been critical about. He's like, yeah, he can run 1 million meters, but... He hasn't really passed, but that ball to Tupou was hectic.
Silky, yes. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Like him with ball playing, probably the best fullback in the comp.
Yeah, probably.
He's fighting with Tommy Trbojevic in that, which is crazy to think. So, mate, he was so friggin' good last night. And just, mate, his fitness, I would love to know, you know how like at training where you'd have guys that, you know, most guys that were really fit at training were usually pretty fit on the field. But what about like the guys you'd get at pre-seasons where they'd be terrible at fitness, but they'd have 40 runs a game. And I wonder whether Joey Manu is like really good at fitness or whether he's not that good at fitness, but he just has like match fitness. Like Hodjo, he was decent at fitness, but he'd get out on the field, mate, he'd have like 30 carries.
Yeah, I do feel like Hodges' carries were a little bit more strategic, well-timed for him at mates. I just don't think you can pull off a game that Manu did unless you are ridiculously fit.
So you reckon he's winning the fitness drills and that?
100%. Those fullback. Think about the fullbacks you've been around the club. They're the guys who are at the top of the beep test, top of the yo-yos. He has to be right up there now.
Surely.
Has to be.
You can't be pumping that out.
No way.
Like the amount of effort on effort. And also, like when he hits in contact, you know how much energy you save if you just find your front straight away? Mm. Whereas if you're pushing through contact, that's you're engaging. Well, you can talk about it way more than I. You're engaging different parts of your body. You're turning from aerobic to anaerobic. Yep. You know, you talk about it.
More so contact. I think when you go into contact, it's underestimated how much energy you put into it. There's the sprint up entirely. Mm. But then when you're wrestling the whole time, trying to find your front, trying to get up, you're pretty much holding your breath the whole time because you're tensing. Yep. Like that's what takes it out of you. So that back three, you got to ask, what have they been doing in the preset? That was ridiculous. Yeah, like they're not winning that game. And that back three just dominated.
Yeah, Suoliti, Tupou and Joey Manu.
Stupid.
I was watching, I was like, I think they simplified their game plan, but it did seem very Panthers-esque where you just had a back three that was just coming at you all day long. They started every set on the front foot, the Roosters.
It felt like it was strategic. Cheese played out of his skin. Don't know whether just his game, but it felt like it was like, all right, Cheese, you got a license, back three. They literally, it was like the whole team knew you guys are taking the first three runs.
Well,
every time. The tides opened apart.
I feel like that's why Cheese played well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he got good starts to his set, which gave him license to run, which is what his game is. Like, he can pass, all that kind of stuff, but he's a ball running number nine.
Well, from the 20th minute onwards, it felt like, wow, Roosters are dominating through the middle, absolutely dominating up until pretty much full time. But that was started with those three just starting the set.
Super dominant.
Ridiculous.
I will say it was interesting watching, and don't get me wrong, I did think the Knights forward pack did well to fight back into it, but it was almost youth versus experience, where the first 15 minutes, Knights forwards was hyper-aggressive, big shots.
100%.
And then the veterans just said, look, okay, if you want to do that for the first 15 minutes, but can you do it for 80 minutes? And the big dogs were like, for example, the older forward pack of the Roosters, they may not be as young and as explosive as the other forward pack, but what they can guarantee is we're going to go at 8 out of 10 all game long. Yeah. So you're 9 out of 10 right now, but you're most likely going to drop down to a 7 out of 10 because you're less experienced than us. And I think we did witness that with the Roosters
forwards. That was the difference between the two teams. I felt like, look, I believe if Ponga didn't get injured, definitely could have been a different game. I thought he was adding so much. But towards that back quarter of the game, you felt that Roosters knew and were in a position to just finish the game off. And Knights started to get a little bit frazzled. Their ball play was off. But I agree. The way the Knights came out the forwards,
If you can do that for 80 minutes.
It was a cracker game. I actually loved watching it.
Much better than I thought it was going to be. Roosters. We've spoken about it so much on the potty, but like, this Kiri Walker situation is bizarre. So basically, and I actually got a bit of pushback on this when I was speaking about it, but a couple of weeks ago, I was like, Kiri by himself isn't the problem. Sam Walker by himself isn't the problem. When they play individually, they're good. It's just when they're together, it doesn't seem to work. And a lot of people are like, you're kidding me, Kiri's passed it. Ever since Sam Walker's gone down in the last game and a half, Kiri's been outstanding.
He's definitely not past it.
Like, he was outstanding last night, and a big reason I feel is because Connor Watson is definitely second fiddle in that relationship.
Yep.
He's just like, Kiri, you tell me where to go and I'll be there. And I think that's just what Kiri needs, or vice versa. That's what Sam Walker needs. He needs another
half. Look at the Rabbitohs game. There was no Kiri in the Rabbitohs game, and Walker was one of the best on ground.
And so it's like, unfortunately, Robbo, and look, maybe he makes it work by the end of the year, so that could happen. But he has this tough call of like, maybe I need to make the hard call of like, it has to be one of those boys' teams. They're both really good. I just don't know which one I give it to.
They won a premiership with a traditional halfback. Name a team that has two live wire, high output, high supporting players. Like, they're runners. They're ball runners. And like you said, I love Kira. But together, you need someone to play second fiddle. You need someone to be a traditional halfback who sets up plays, who has a kicking game, and lets the other just have a bit of a license. So,
well, even Munster plays second fiddle to Hughes.
Yep.
But in a way, like, when I say second fiddle, I'm not talking about his importance. Roles. Exactly. Yes. Like, so Munster is like, you get us around the park and then I'll inject myself when I want to. Whereas when you look at Kiri and Walker, it's like, who's getting him around the park? Like, is it Walker's job? Is it Kiri's job? Whereas when one of them is out, whether it's Walker out or Kiri out, it's extremely clear who's getting around the park. It's Kiri's getting around the park or Walker's getting around the park. So I genuinely believe the Roosters have too much headaches. Like, too much headaches as in too many headaches, sorry, of selection, you know, problems. Like, they got too many guns. They got Manu sitting in the centres and you're sitting there going, how do we get him involved? Because Teddy's our fullback and Teddy is a higher work rate fullback. And so you go, well, okay, maybe we should bring him in more, but then our structure goes out the window. He's not going to be out sitting out at the centre. And then you've got two guns in Walker and Kiri that could play. You've got Sandon Smith, who is a gun half, but hasn't been forced to play in the halves. You've got Connor Watson, who's a great utility, but, you know, Victor Radley can also fill that role in 13 and play 80 minutes. It's almost like too many things to select
from. And even Cheese, as we mentioned, you felt like, was he pushed into a position where, hey, we want you to be a hooker?
Yeah.
But then, hey, like, his passing game solid, but give him free reign. Just let him go.
Yeah. It's one of the better performances by the Roosters considering the players they were missing. I feel like they could have iced things a bit more often, but it was a good bounce back for the Roosters. Like, we have to remember, they got beaten by the Dogs last week.
What do you think it was a reflection of? A good sign for the Roosters or a better sign for the Knights? I sort of think it was a better reflection for the Knights how they play. I don't know if the Roosters winning that game the way they did really was like, oh, yeah, that was great from the Roosters. I felt like, considering the situation, it was better for the Knights.
Oh, so you think the Knights come out of that game looking better than the Roosters?
I think so.
Really? Oh, yeah. See, I'm the opposite.
I'm not really stoked with the way the Knights played, but I don't think I sit there and go, man, the Roosters were world beaters. That, like, they really should have probably put it on the Knights a bit better than they did. I mean, Knights completed at nearly 90%. I think that really helped them. So that was their saving grace, but it was a lot closer than it should have been for the Roosters.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing. So who are they missing, the Roosters? Young?
Teddy.
Sam Walker. Teddy. So like three key players there, like literally key players. If the Knights, okay, we'll put it this way. If the Knights were missing Kalen Ponga, Frizzell, and one of their key starting halves.
Yeah, that's true. I think you don't look at it because then who did Roosters replace him with? Then it's crazy. Like you almost forget.
And also,
that's not fair either.
Roosters have probably the best roster in the comp.
Yeah.
Like the Knights, if they lose three players, they're gone.
The expectations for the Roosters are...
Yeah, see, I don't have those expectations anymore, really. Mm. I did at the start of the season. I think they need to work back towards that. I thought the Knights did really well to fight back in the game, but, mate, some of the moments in that game where they were just decided to walk, like when Kalen Ponga made that break, the game is on the line. KP pulls something out of nothing. There were five players around him that just kept walking.
Mm.
Like, didn't even get into a jog to get after him. And then, so you get that play. They manage to hold the ball. They go down there. The game is literally on the line. We're talking about the last minute of the game. And Adam Elliott takes a run, makes a half-ish break. And Hastings just walks. Just watch Adam Elliott run past him. And he's just walking. Now, Kai Pierce-Paul...
Pierce Paul.
KPP. I can forgive him because he's in his sixth NRL game for not pushing up with Adam Elliott. And also, maybe you argue he had to keep his width. But I was really surprised with Hastings, like just watching Adam Elliott run past him and not even, like, I'm not saying he definitely would have got there or whatever, but even just jogging after Adam Elliott, because Adam Elliott turns around and looks for the offload. No one's there.
Mm.
And they're attacking the line. And I just think that, like, those two moments, that's really concerning for me with the Knights. Like, the fact that, like, the game's on the line. You're at home and you've got blokes making half breaks and breaks and no one's running. Again, it's not the fact that, like, if KP made that break and they weren't quick enough to get to him, then you go, okay, that's just, all right, timing didn't work, whatever. But, like, if you go and rewatch the footage of KP making that break, there's players that watch him run past them.
Mm. That's definitely concerning. An attribute that's missing from the halves at Knights. We spoke about the skills that, say, a Walker and a Kiri has. You miss that support play from the Knights half, especially, unfortunately, Hastings. Yeah. Like, that's just not in his wheelhouse. He's, you know, he wants the ball, he does his thing, but in terms of support play, you could probably call that an extra effort, but those are the little things that are probably missing for the Knights.
Mate, the last one, unfortunately for Hastings, I really thought was poor.
Kalen Ponga's shadow if I'm in that
team. Well, not that one. So that one, it wasn't on his side, but the one where Adam Elliott,
right
on the buzzer.
Yeah.
Just watching it and seeing Hastings just like stand still whilst Adam Elliott runs past him. I was surprised because, like, Hastings, although, yeah, you're right, not known for his support play, but he's also not, he is known for his effort plays. Like, he usually makes his effort plays. I was actually quite disappointed with the halves last night for the Knights. I just think, like, some of their kicking decisions, when the game was on the line, there was like just a random bomb it was a bomb in the middle of the field that didn't even give the chasers enough time to get there. Mm. And then, like, a lot of the time they were, they weren't squaring their defenders up. Like, there's a lot of side-to-side stuff and they'd be running over his line and giving no space for the outside men. So there's a lot to work on for the halves at the Knights. I was genuinely, like, surprised at... Like, if there's one thing that Cogger and Hastings can do, it's square up defence. We know they can do that. It's what Cogger did in the grand final.
Yeah.
And we know Hastings can do it. Like, he was a big part of that 10-game run. But I thought they were... it definitely wasn't their best game last night in the halves. For the Knights. Just quickly back to the Roosters. What about Gus on the edge here?
That was his best game in a long time.
I mean, how much, you don't realise what you've got until it's gone, but how much have the Roosters missed a great line runner on their edge to give their outside men a bit of space?
Especially on that side, like with who you got your finishing on the line.
Yeah.
Like his impact, not only with the line running, but just having some powerful body out there. Like that was definitely his best game in a long time. Yeah. If he's back, it's going to do wonders for the Roosters.
Even before last night, I was I wasn't sure if he'd probably keep that spot. There's been that second row for Roosters. There's people have been in and out with injuries, mate, and stuff.
Revolving door.
But he keeps that spot now.
Surely.
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for mate, sure.
I got to say it. Some of the calls last night were so bad. What about the May one where he challenges it? It, like, rightly so, it did come out backwards.
Yeah.
Then the Knights player knocks it backwards to his own try line. They call it a Knights knock on.
That was ridiculous.
And there's a video, like, you're watching a replay of the Knights guy knock it back. Like, you're literally watching it. And even the commentators were, like, speechless. Going, even what? Even the ref.
Even the ref said to the bunker, oh, so Rooster's ball. Like, you could tell he was surprised by the call as well.
What are you watching?
Yeah.
Then to make it worse, to make up for that call, they call a frigging obstruction on Radley, and you're like, what?
That was soft ass.
What are you talking? And then, like, just crazy. And then, like, this a bunch of other calls. Then the Angus Crichton that they called a knock on. So he fumbles it, but it doesn't touch anyone. And then he hits it. It goes back like 5 meters and it doesn't bounce back. It literally goes back. I thought the refs had a. I didn't think it was the best ref game. I know, like, you know, we don't like to be too negative with refs, but we talk about players' performances. When it comes to performances, I thought it was pretty poor last night.
I didn't think the Knights got much in the last 5 minutes as well. It looked very slow.
All in the ruck, and they just didn't have. They just wouldn't call it. And now, look, to be very, very clear though, the Knights lost themselves that game though. That was not the refs' fault. Yeah. The refs weren't great and didn't give them some calls, but it was effort areas in key moments that lost them that game, unfortunately.
What's your thoughts on that? I thought this was the first time that I'd really had it brought to life, and the commentary team threw a little assist in there, but that obstruction call on the line running outside Cleary.
Oh, obstruction.
So what about that though? Like, strategically, 100%, knowing what we know internally and the strategy, there's no doubt that halves are now sitting right inside on the ball player, and then as they work out, so they're going to have to fix that because that's a cheat code.
That was so interesting for me, not having played NRL, listening to that analysis. I was like, wow.
So, bro, firstly, if you are in that halfback position, you're always setting that guy up. I mean, I could speak for the Storm system on your inside shoulder, right? But the flaws with that is you can get beat, but you work in, work out to the system. But now, if you pitch yourself on the ball player and you work out, it's almost impossible for that line runner to do his job and hit the inside shoulder. So they've hacked it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to address it. And if that starts happening.
We're going to see way more of it.
I'm starting to hate the obstruction call because, like, players are just looking for it.
Yep.
Like, they're constantly looking for it. Like, we're talking about some of the fittest humans on earth, like most explosive, like some of the best balance in contact literally on earth, and they're getting bumped over by little touches and that.
But the halves have hacked the system now.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to have to change
it. They're looking for it. Like, they're looking for that obstruction.
And it's not hard.
It's not hard at all. And I don't know how they're going to fix it, but I hope we can get to a point where if the defender doesn't make a genuine effort to keep moving his legs, like doing those ones and like that, put it this way, as soon as a player does like that, I'd almost be willing to go, you don't get the penalty. Because that's not how you would naturally fall if you were genuinely trying to get to that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If you've got enough wherewithal to put your hands up like that.
Yeah, you've milked it.
You've milked it.
You would never do that. If you got hit, there's no way you would be able to milk it. If you're trying to get hit in contact. Yeah,
if you're trying to track like a player out like that and you're genuinely trying to get there, your arms would be down here, and if you do get knocked over, you'd be getting shouldered over, and you'd be falling over like that.
Yep.
As soon as your hands go like that, you haven't made a genuine effort to get out the back. It's that simple. Honestly, like, I know that's a very, like, I get that that's not a blanket rule, but geez, I tell you what, it's a pretty good indication as to whether it's getting milked.
But that's what's lacking. Bunker and referees, they're not going to have that experience and knowledge. But I mean, where do you go? I think it gets too technical. The first thing that comes to mind is, in that ball play, in that play where they're running a block with the lead runner, if you start inside and then you work out and you get obstructed, well, then that should be enough to say, well, it's not an obstruction. You deliberately did that. Yeah. But I don't know. Is that too hard to police on the fly?
Is it too technical?
I don't know.
Like, think, what is the body like? Let's say there's a body in front of you. I guarantee we all do the same thing. What's the body language you do to get around that body? You go like that, don't you? You dip your shoulder. Like, let's say there's someone in front of me right now. And I'm trying to get to his right, my left. I would dip my right shoulder to get past him like that. Mm. How often do we ever see defenders that get obstructed dipping their right shoulder to get across to that guy at the back. Mm. Literally never.
Yeah.
Literally
if you see never. An opportunity, you're taking it. That's where it's at.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like it's getting to the point where it's just like,
while we're on rules, bro, I've got one more that stood out, which, you know, I might be a bit disconnected, but the dropout, when it got called, it's like, there's balls in the bucket.
Oh, that was good. That was great.
That's unheard of. You've got to actually go and collect your own balls, otherwise too bad. And that was the exception. Apparently they've been told all year, there's two balls, there's two buckets. You got to go and get the ball if you
and
can't
like
see
in the heat of the
like,
battle too. In the heat of the battle too, it's like, that's mate, a G-up. Come on. Like I'd understand if they'd been told repeatedly to do that. But like I highly doubt, like you might get told once before the season starts. Yeah. Or if you want, you can get the balls out of
it's
the bucket.
It's on you. Sprint to the bucket and get a ball
it's
or it's done.
It's the first time I've heard of it.
I
anyway.
Feel like he just shit himself when that alarm went off in the whole stadium. It's like, you've got to pull the penalty.
Yeah.
There's no lenience.
Like the ball in the bucket one, it's like surely it should be on the ball boy to get it to you. Like, anyway, it is what it is. But so with the Knights, like I've got mixed feelings about the Knights because I agree with you.
Yeah.
They showed a lot of grit to just like hang in there and be in the game because there was a period there where the Roosters were just rolling over them. But it's just those key moments where they just had no one chasing through. Mm. Just bizarre to me. Some positives for the Knights. Kai Pierce-Paul, KPP.
He's an athlete.
Outside of that one, you know, could have been supporting Adam Elliott. Outside of that, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he looks good.
Far out, he looks good. Exactly. And we're starting to see, like, you know, for the start of the year, he was just getting through all the tough stuff, doing all the hard yards. But what's so exciting about him is once he gets confident to add in all the extra stuff that he actually is known for, like imagine KP knowing when he gets the offload now how hard it's going to be to stop that combination.
It's been quick. Like, it's only for round six.
Mate.
And he didn't play round one.
He didn't play round one. He's in his fifth game. That would have been his fifth game of NRL.
And probably his fourth game starting.
And he's like still a relatively young footy player too. So it's not like he's coming from Super League and he's 28 years old. Like we're talking like a 23, 24-year-old. Mm.
Yeah.
So
ridiculous.
He's a gun over there. He wasn't like...
Yeah, so I think he was a gun initially. He had a bit of a quiet year.
Gotcha.
And then so he's come over here. But I, mate... If he keeps on this trajectory, he'll be one of the better back rows in the competition. Yeah,
proper like, athlete.
Oh, my God.
And he's enormous.
Yeah. He's so big. He's taller than Dom Young.
Really?
Pretty sure. Well, he's as tall.
He did look tall.
I mean, he's taller than the Saifidi brothers.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Like, he's taller than the Saifidi brothers. Fucking massive. So that was some positives.
I thought Leo Thompson had some good moments.
Yeah, he had some great work. Mm. I love the battle he had with Lindsay Collins, I think.
Mm. So he had some great like tough moments in the first half with Lindsay Collins, as you said, but in the second half when I think it was Manu put a kick in to the in goal and Leo Thompson was back there to clean it up.
And then also he did a cover tackle as well when maybe Joey Manu or someone made a bit of a break coming out of their own end. Leo Thompson, I thought he was good. Terrell May.
Yes.
Real good.
I don't think I've ever seen someone have a line break assist and then a try assist
in the same.
Like, ridiculous.
And just to, like, what
sorry,
I loved
a,
about,
a prop.
What I loved about that from May is like, so he has this silky hands, hits Radley on a great unders line. And then just the footy IQ to go, oh, I'm not going to track back into the middle. I'm going to go stand out in the centre.
That was...
Think how smart that is.
That sequence of events was unreal.
Like, think so about how footy intelligent that is for a front rower. Like, okay, if we were all playing front row, what would have we done? Gone straight to the middle of the field.
Back to position, yeah.
Straight to the middle of the field. But he's gone, no, there's no one out there. There's no centre out there. I'm going to go track out to the centre and be that connecting man between who did the tip on? Was it whoever tipped onto him was great hands. But then, just easy hands to Tupou. Like, mate, Terrell May, like we spoke about last week, very surprised that he only got 20 minutes last week, but didn't he show last night, like he's fast becoming as important as Lindsay Collins. I'd still say Lindsay Collins is the most important in their front row. Obviously Hargreaves is there, but I'd say right now when it comes to actually, you know, perform, like Hargreaves brings something intangible.
Of course.
That you can't measure. But when it comes to actual performances, you'd say Lindsay Collins is probably at the tippity top, but I tell you what, Telmo's getting real close to being as important.
Do you feel like that game was organic though? Again, I felt like that was a little bit strategic, like something had been said. It felt like there was a bit more of a license for him to play
to
a different
roam.
Way,
yeah,
you know?
Mate, he is genuinely special. And he's got to be an Origin smoky now. Like, I think the biggest question I would have in regards to Origin, and he'd be a smoky for New South Wales, is just the pace. Would he be able to keep up with the pace of that game? Because he is such a big boy. And I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe he would keep up with it. I don't know. But in regards to, like, does he have the size, the strength, the skill set? I think he does have all that for Origin. Like, I think he does. He have the mongrel, everything. I think he does. It'd just be, I guess.
And he clearly has, like, the mental toughness, because in round one, he just wouldn't come off the field.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And, like, he's played big minutes heaps of times. Mm. So I think that, like,
I remember he said to you, I know this is New South Wales Cup, but when he was really overweight, he was still playing 80 minutes for Blacktown.
And he was like in 120 the kegs or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's an athlete. So, mate, I think that that game definitely has just put him into Origin conversation. Now, I think he's still in the smoky chat tier.
I agree.
But, mate, imagine him coming off. If he could keep up with the speed, him coming off the bench with a couple offloads through the middle, that would be pretty
I love the idea, and especially because Prop is such a point of contention with New South Wales at the moment. Only Payne Haas is really locked in, I would say.
Yeah, Payne Haas definitely locked in. And when I say speed, I don't necessarily mean, like, could his fitness hold out. What I mean is genuinely, like speed of the, you know how quick it is. Could play the ball. But, mate, you could go much worse than getting him in that blue jersey.
Yeah, I really like it.
He loves the tough stuff. He would get amongst it. He's got a bit of, he's got that extra bit of magic in him if you need it. And also that, you know, breaking up of tempo coming off the bench, like with that offload. Sometimes you just need a guy to cut, like what Junior Bolo did for the Eels the last couple of weeks when he come off the bench, just a couple of offloads. All of a sudden the game is just spread wide open. So yeah, I reckon he's going to be a smoke, because at the moment you'd have Payne Haas locked in. You've got RCG, Junior Bolo, Jake Trbojevic maybe in the front row.
He definitely has a point of difference.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That little point of difference that maybe.
But I would say only Payne Haas is locked in out of them.
Oh, Payne Haas, I'd say, is the only one locked in for sure. Yeah. For sure.
And also, he just doesn't miss tackles. I don't know what his stats are like this year, but last year, I'm pretty sure he missed like four tackles all year.
He barely misses tackles. Jesus. No, yeah. I'm really excited for Tomei. Anyone else stand out for you guys in the match?
Oh, okay, let me think. Man, I tell you what I'm spewing about. That, the no try we were talking about before with Gagai.
Oh,
how good was it to see vintage Gagai?
Mate, that was Queensland Gagai. That was
Queensland Gagai.
That was Queensland Gagai. That was Origin Gags. Yeah. Just go on. Little shimmy, little shake. That, like, almost awkward footwork, like where he's kind of like jumping all over this place. And against, like, you know, Tupou's not a bad defender either.
Yeah. I thought also, I thought Hetherington had a good game too.
He just, like, fully just brought his game back down to a point where just really good consistent foot. He doesn't have the brain explosions that he had in the past, because he hasn't had a 10 in the bin in a while now.
Since there was a really bad one maybe a year ago, but yeah, since then it's been pretty clean.
Yeah, so look, I don't think, so when you look at the Roosters all the nights, I don't think you can walk out of that game going, oh, we're back, we're on. Nah. But at the same time, I don't think you walk out of the going, oh, that was a bad performance by both teams. Like, I don't think either fan should be sitting there going, oh, you know, we're done, our season's over or whatever. I think Knights fans will be really disappointed, though, with the fact that the game was there to be won if a few extra efforts had been made. Mm. From Roosters' perspective, I guess the thing that may excite you but also get you a bit nervous is, like, the style of footy they played, like, is different to what they've been playing the last few weeks. So do they go all in on this now and go, you know what, quick play the balls through the middle, get cheese, you know, more momentum and lose a bit of the structure that they've had recently? It's going to be a tough balancing act for the Roosters.
It'd be tough to be Robbo right now.
Yeah, like which direction do you go
seriously?
In?
Seriously.
Because they looked so much better than they have looked in attack.
For sure.
I'd be sticking to that formula for a little bit.
Sure, I reckon too. Mm. Just guys, let's just go real simple, quick play the balls through the middle and just anything off the back of that and see how you go.
I wonder who they'd pick if they had to come down to it after Walker or Keary. Like, it's a tough one.
Don't forget, Matty Burton is our hungriest player. Use code Burton for free delivery. That's Burton for free delivery on Menulog. So it's basically like going to the joint, getting the feed, but you get free delivery and it's in your house. It's unbelievable. Don't forget, Wade Egan's performance is our LDV T60 power play of the week. The LDV T60 has 160 kilowatts of grunt, which makes it one of the most powerful utes in its class. Notable players off contract. Daily Telegraph has revealed notable players off contract at the moment with hidden clauses in their contract. Now, that's...
Ooh. Well, I put the word hidden in there. It's probably a bit dramatic, but it's... When I look at the squad list on NRL.com...
So you're a journo now.
Yeah. I'm sensationalising. I'm sensationalising. But it was Christ. Hidden to me because, like, the squad list I usually go when I refer to it, it doesn't say all this stuff, but there's some interesting ones in there.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some of the players. Fifita signed an extension last year, but the last two seasons are player options, so he can leave if he wants. Then you've got Utu Ikamanu. Contract till 2025, but has a clause that he can walk away from Tigers if they miss the eight. That becomes void if he plays two Origin games, though. So Brandon Smith, he has a player option that needs to be activated by May 31st. That is, like, the amount of places that need a hooker is actually crazy. That's interesting. Finny Fuaki, no clauses, just on the open market right now. Blaise Talangi, no clauses, just on the open market, but negotiations to re-sign with the Eels have started, apparently. Helam Luki has an option in his favour to extend if he wants, apparently working out a larger extension with the Cowboys. I don't think he'll go anywhere. Joey Manu, all but gone to Union. Lomax being granted a release. Schuster being granted a release. Notable mentions, though. Sean Johnson, Hazelton, Whitehead, Rapana, Josh Papali'i, Nick Kotrick, Milford, Wallace, Bromwich, Nikarima, Dane Gagai, Townsend, DeBellin, Sua, and Sloan all can basically negotiate.
There's some big names there.
Interesting.
Seriously.
Taruva as well also has no clauses. He's just on the open market as it stands. Who stands out there for you, Jandal?
Oh, there's a few, like, good players that, you know, like the Gags and the Papali'i and stuff like that, but even Raps, like, I wonder what these players, what their next step is for them. You know, they're getting to that sort of... other end of their career. I wonder, you know, where they could add value to another team.
Mate, I tell you, if you need a, like, for example, if I'm the Eels, I'm looking at what's going on with Dane Gagai.
Absolutely.
Like, if you could somehow get him for kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Imagine a Lomax Gagai centre pair. Oh, we've got Bensini. Imagine you put Lomax on the wing or even Gagai on the wing. Like that back line all of a sudden, let's say you could get Sivo firing, Lomax in the centre, Bensini in the other centre, and Gags on the other wing.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then Gutho at the back.
And Gutho at the
Holy
back.
Holy shit.
That's nice.
That's very nice. That, I mean, they haven't had a backline that like that in what, a decade?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's been a long time since they had a backline that strong across the board.
I'd say, yeah, way more than that. Yeah, for sure.
So if I'm Eels, I'm inquiring into what's going on with Gags. If they've got money in the cap, surely the Eels have got money in the cap.
Well, they said they've been so... careful with their money in the last few years when it comes to big players like Reid Marnie and all that. So surely they got money floating around.
I have to think they've got money.
You'd
have to.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not like Moses or Gutho. Gutho didn't break the bank at all. Didn't, like, he's actually, I think he's on like 700 or something, which is, you could argue, unders for Gutho. Mitch Moses maybe on a mil. Dylan Brown maybe on 650.
Imagine how many clubs would kill for Gutho.
Oh, mate, 100%.
Kill for Gutho.
Imagine him at Raiders.
Oh.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd kill it at Raiders with that forward pack.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he would. I think the big one's for Feeder, especially how bad the Titans are going.
Scary, really scary for the Titans.
Yeah.
Because, like, when they're going okay, it's very easy for Tino and the boys to get together and go, boys, we're next up. Got to stick together. Let's build something here. But they're going this bad, and then Tino's out for the whole season, and you're for Feeder, and you're sitting there going... I want to win a premiership.
Yeah, like, I don't see him sticking. I think it's very likely that he looks
if they keep
around.
Going like this.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
They'll need to start winning footy games. Otherwise, imagine where he could end up.
The Tino thing adds in that element.
The
as well.
ACL gone. Because then the problem is if he goes, because isn't Tino have like 5-year option in his favour or something like that?
Yeah, but I think Tino's options are in a few years.
Yeah. But if he goes, you just know, like, Tino will eventually leave too.
Yeah. They need to keep him. But
you desperately need to keep him, man. If you're Fifita, where could you land? It's like...
Imagine if it's June and the Titans have won one game. Like, surely he's like, get me out of here.
Yeah, he's done.
It's just, there's no point a player that good sticking around, slogging it out. Especially when he's been there for a few years now and they haven't had success.
Like a Tino... You know, you could justify you're still playing rep footy, you're the captain.
Yeah, you're the big dog on the big coin.
Without those things, I don't know what ties you down.
And you're on the edge there as an edge back rower, so you've got to hold your width, you're not getting the ball as much, whereas Tino's in the middle, he can just get through his work, enjoy his footy.
Yep.
Ooh, that's scary. Scary stuff. Where could you see Tino land,
Fifita
landing, if he didn't decide to re-sign?
Hmm.
I mean, the Raiders are really keen on him, but obviously they got Hosking. On the edge, what team would have money?
Oh, I don't know if they don't have money, but imagine if you went to Melbourne.
They
probably won't have cash though. It's all
about the Rabbitohs. Key on one side, Fifita the other.
The only problem is I'd love it. I would love Fifita, but South re-signed basically their whole team last year. I don't know how much wiggle room there is. Like after getting Whitener.
Sharkies?
Yeah?
Sharkies?
Wow, Fifita and Nikora.
Nikora? Oh. Mm. Scary stuff.
Jeez, imagine if they get Fanua Blake and Fifita.
Jesus, the go forward there.
There's a lot of clubs that would use Fifita.
Oh, mate.
100%.
Yeah. What about Brandon Smith? Eels make a play. Eels probably couldn't afford him. There's so many clubs that could use a good hooker like Brandon Smith. Like, so many clubs. Who would you?
Well, yeah, this Power is a big one.
Dragons,
Canberra.
Titans.
Dragons.
Imagine the cheese on the Gold Coast. Oh, my God. Probably not a good idea, mate.
Probably not.
Cheese, I know you're watching, brother.
What about?
Stay away from Burley Hill. You won't make it out alive. It'll eat you up the Bermuda Triangle on Burley Hill.
What about Brisbane?
Brisbane? Nah, we got
Moser coming through.
We got Moser coming through. Yeah, and Billy Walters, mate, like he's been pretty good.
Solid. Oh, he's been great. Yeah.
But anyway, there's plenty of players off contract. What else has been going on? The door? What else has been going on? Anything, any hobbies, any interests outside of sport that you'd like to talk about, mate?
Any hobbies outside of sport? Man, I don't know outside of sport. I haven't been latching onto any conspiracy theories. I've just been getting around, same as you, I've just been getting around the fights as well as the footy these days.
Mate, how good
just
the fights been?
Just saying, boxing is well and truly back.
So good.
I mean, Saudi seems to be the new hotspot, but I'm geared up for all them fights. Tyson Fury and the heavyweight battles that are going on.
Will you get back in the ring?
Oh, I'd love to. I really would love to. Even, you see, there's a fair few boys getting around into fights at the moment. Even some of the AFL lads I know. So, like, they asked me recently to jump on a AFL card down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Against, his name's Jesse something. He's a big lad.
Yeah.
I was tempted. I just don't know how I'd go getting into a camp again. But, man, I loved it so much.
The camp is what, like, stuff that. You know what I mean? Like,
but you do love it. Like, the thing for me is I love the uncomfortable of it. It was so different to rugby league. Like, yeah. You would know. Not being in a team sport, being an individual, yeah, you got one coach, but it's all on you.
It's all on you. It was different.
I actually
feeling.
Really liked it.
Yeah, it's
how,
a different
how long do they go for? I know it's so it's
camp,
different,
12
but
weeks.
Like 12
yeah,
weeks?
12.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but the biggest thing was, man, I'm a heavyweight, so like, I'm not a traditional heavyweight, yeah. You know?
If
so
you were an actual boxer, you'd be stripped way down.
Yeah, you'd go definitely cruiserweight, maybe less. Yeah. But rocking up to a different gym every weekend, and like you get there, yeah, you spar that, you get there, and then you just see these big,
massive boys,
120 kilo lads, and like you think you know about anxiety. I was saying this the other day. I had a conversation. Footy had nothing in comparison to even like Gladiator being on the Duel,
yeah.
And I think it was because my pride is on the line. Imagine I got up there in like Powerball and someone stepped me.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about the whole show? It's not worth it because I've just embarrassed myself on live television.
Imagine you get up and you get knocked out.
That's what I'm saying. As a man, is that on the top, getting knocked out 100%. In front of everyone you know? There's nothing
100%,
worse.
100%, absolutely.
So that feeling.
And like, you just know fucking people on the internet are just going to, like, that have never stepped in the ring, that have never done anything. I'm just going to pepper you with that clip for the rest of your life.
There's no more nervous adrenaline moment than fighting someone with the thought of you could potentially get knocked out in front of everyone.
Completely knocked out. Like, that's why, you know, it seems like a bit cliche, but genuinely anyone that steps in the ring is brave as anything.
Yeah.
Even if they're the worst, the most Gumby fighters you've ever seen in your life, mate, it is genuinely bravery. Like,
100%.
And also, if you've ever sparred, It's a feeling that only can be replicated by sparring. Being gassed while someone's trying to knock you out, there's no other feeling in the world.
Mm.
Because it's just like, like in rugby league, if you're gassed and you let a try in, you care. But in the long term, who gives a shit? If you're gassed and this guy's trying to knock you out, like, that matters. That fucking matters.
But do you know how strange it is? Like, you're fit as a fiddle and you go into the sparring, all of a sudden,
gone.
Whether it's the adrenaline dump or whatever, it's gone.
Well, it's like done. When you've done a whole preseason of footy, you get to round one. You're fucking gassed after 10 minutes. It must be the adrenaline dump, surely.
But also, when you're fighting these heavyweights, I go in and I am lighter, I am faster, but all of a sudden you just start going one punches and trying to muscle it out. Yeah. And you're doing the same thing as them. That's what I hated. But I feel like there was a switch flicked when I actually had a fight. It was like, oh, you felt like you could relax.
And oh, really?
Yeah, you weren't as like, oh, so tense.
Yeah, okay.
So I did feel like that unlocked a bit of like, I don't know, just my technique and everything changed.
Did you get a lot of confidence in, because like I think that a lot of people, they, don't get me wrong, getting punched by a boxing glove, it hurts way more than it looks like. Like those gloves make it look like it's this big cushion. It's not, it hurts. But at the same time, you actually would be surprised at how much of a punch you can take, which gives you confidence to go, okay, well, as long as I'm not an idiot and as long as I don't get gas and I'm not an idiot, I probably shouldn't get knocked out.
Yeah.
Did that work for you or not really?
Yeah, it just builds confidence. You get a few punches like, oh, okay, I'm good here.
Yeah, I can take that shot. You build up a bit
of resilience. But the other thing is your first go-to when you're getting punched is just this panic, like you stepping way too back and you just realize, if I just put my hands up, 16 ounces, I'm sweet, punch me. But you don't realize that until a little bit longer into your journey.
Yeah, or you're like you're pulling your head back, you're putting your chin in.
You're all over the place and you're trying to avoid everything.
Like, or you're like trying to pour out your, which is literally the last thing, but you're trying to like stop their arms from getting to you, which is leaving you exposed. So you reckon you will? If you had to right now, yes or no, would you get back in the ring?
I would get back in the ring, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would.
Who against?
I guess you know you'd have to take a footy player on.
Just fucking say their name, bro. He was spraying him before the show, bro. I would fucking flog him. No, I'm just joking. He never said that. Fuck it, mate. When you just accept what footy fight nights are, just enjoy it. Like you know, is it a bit messy? Is it as good as technically as the big boxes? No, but it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I don't get the. I understand the frustration with boxers, where they feel like, well, this exposure could be given to actual boxers, but it's like, that's not how the boxing game works. No. It's prize fighting.
It's not how marketing and business works either.
There's not a finite pool of resources that if they weren't given to this boxer, this footy fighter, they were going to be given to this boxer. It's genuinely like, this boxer can generate this many eyeballs, therefore they get this amount of money or this amount of exposure. If anything, if I was a boxer, like, yeah, for sure, there's that natural kind of like, oh, are you fucking serious? I've worked for this my whole life and this guy gets on the main card. I get that. That's a natural, you know, I'm sure I felt it in league as well. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I'm getting on every footy card I can get on because that's how you build your profile. Like,
without the footy players coming into the space, and I suppose Gallon's a great example, these fight cards, No Limit Boxing, all this stuff really wasn't in existence. It wasn't a platform. I know the Zoo Brothers have taken it to another level, but they really created the platform.
Yeah. The Zoo Boys, obviously they had their name and their talent, 100%. Absolutely. But they did it smart. They were like, you know what? I will jump on a footy card to get my name out there. And now he's one of the biggest names in there.
And now we have these fight cards where people are actually connected. Yeah. They are engaged. They are watching. So,
well, like think about No Limit, for example. And No Limit, I think they're the best in the business, put on the best cards, all that kind of stuff. And granted, obviously I'm mates with No Limit.
But they get it. They get it. They get the mix of influence, social media, marketing, the fighters.
And you have to ask yourself, opportunity. Would No Limit be where they're at, being able to put these great fights on that you're seeing without rugby league?
No.
Absolutely not. So, that's not having a go at No Limit skill set at all. That's saying that's smart what they did.
They'd say the same thing, I reckon. They leveraged.
Mate, they leveraged, and it's smart. It's good. Like, think about how many fights we get. We've got Nikita Zoo coming up soon. We got plenty of, like, how many fights over the last month, like, on that have been on Fox? So in the month leading up to the Zoo fight, there were four fights.
Yes.
Like, when was the last time you had that on Fox? Four fights in a month that you could, you know, watch. Now, granted, I understand there's been fight nights and all that kind of stuff, but I would argue that the last couple of years we've seen more fights on TV for us all to watch, whether it's No Limit or somewhere else, than in recent history. Maybe there was a time before, you know, I started watching boxing as much as I did that had more fights on, but in my time over the last decade or so, we've had, in the past, we have huge fights. Obviously, we've had Horn, we've had Pacquiao, for sure. Mundine, Greek, like all that. But the amount of fights we're getting, it feels like it's more than it has been before.
Mm.
And look, boxing
I agree with you. I'm not really a boxing fan, but I agree with that.
We would have boxing fans that listen right now. Let us know in the comments section. Has the number increased? Because I'm more than happy to say, to be proven wrong. Like, I get it. There are people that are way more serious into boxing than I am. But it feels like to me as a guy, I wouldn't consider myself a casual. I'd consider myself just a boxing fan. I wouldn't consider myself a hardcore. But from a, just a boxing fan's perspective, it does seem like there's more fights being put on.
1,000%. And with the stage now, the connection with KO, like it's got pay-per-views. There was a long period of time. We've spoken about this before. That was not in existence.
Well, you had to.
It was gone.
You had to go to a pub to watch the main event fight because they didn't have it online. I mean, obviously you could watch it legally or whatever, but like you literally couldn't like buy the pay-per-view via an online streaming service only like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
3 years ago.
That's madness, isn't it?
That's crazy to think.
Even like Danny Green jumping up, I'll get around the Pedro and I don't want to butcher his name, but Trevesky fight. Like, Trevesky's a gun, mad southpaw.
Yeah,
Pedro, ex-MMA fighter, like one of our best. We get around all them lads. Like, I'm keen to have
Yeah, I'm
it.
Keen as. And Pedro is probably earning the most he's ever bloody earned in the boxing game. In Australia, this is an Australian card. Like, yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Can I just say one thing?
No.
Okay. see you next week. You say the pay-per-view thing, how crazy it was 2 years ago. Don't you think it's crazy that it was only 10 years ago we were watching footy games on delay? Don't you think that's like
that is
madness?
10 years ago? So what was that, 2000?
About 2014, 2013.
Which game? On
so the Sunday 4 o'clock game was always played at 3. And it was delayed. And you had to, like, if you wanted to, it might have been 12 years ago, but maximum 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And so the 3 o'clock game picked off, the 4 o'clock game actually kicked off at 3, but they'd play it at 4. The ads would be so long. And if your team was playing, I'm 100% sure.
Wow.
Because I used to go into lockdown. So when South played
at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm trying to think too now.
Mm.
And that around that 2013-14 period for me, I kind of disengaged with the game a little bit. So it's probably why I'm misremembering, even though it would have been around before then. Okay, so.
And the Friday night game, that was always delayed too. Both games were played at 7:30 and then they'd put the second one.
Only 12 years ago.
Yeah, guaranteed.
That's bizarre.
That's
there's two people that have played in the NRL for not to know that is outrageous. I've
Sunday
never known that.
Afternoon game. What time did I play? Yeah, I don't think it was 4:30. Hey, you might be right.
You might be right, bro.
That's weird.
I mean, you probably definitely are. Fucking
you're right. You've Googled it.
It just shows you like you can be in it and you don't take it. You don't really take notice of that stuff. When you're in playing NRL, all you're focused on is your game. Mm. And whatever is around your game, the video session, whatever, you're not thinking about like, is this played an hour later? Because it's not like you're going home and like watching the game again. Like, you're fully zoning 100%. Out after the game.
I'll tell you
that's
what else.
Crazy.
This is a reflection of where I'm at. It may be in life, not in a negative way, but bro, have you ever been to Costco?
No, I haven't.
Costco's mad.
This is where I'm at. I'm getting hyped up about my weekend shopping. That's my outlet in life. But bro, it's
it
wild
mad?
In there. And I recently, this is why I'm hyped up about it, because there's one where I live, but I went to one in America, mate. The shit that's in there.
Really?
It's insane.
You can get anything
but
in Costco.
But shit you can't get either.
Yeah.
It blows your mind. And in bulk, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, if you want 50,000 toilet rolls, go to Costco.
Bro, I went in there in America. We walked in there. My mate didn't have his card. Mm. So we sort of just walked in. They attack you because they got this new face scanner.
What?
And I'm in this kit,
face
actually.
Scan?
Yeah, you get your face scan for
to
your
go
ID.
In.
Yeah, to go in at Costco in America.
Because are you buying it in wholesale or something?
You got to have a membership. You can't just roll in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, we've walked in. They've told us to go to membership. Walked in. I'm in the blue air locker kit. This woman's just running me down in the line, just abusing me. Like, I'll leave. So it was a crazy experience.
So do you have to pay to be a member?
Yeah, you can't go there unless you're a member.
So that's how they make their money back, is you subscribe to be a member.
Yeah.
And then they probably go, all right, so we'll discount our prices X amount. Because like, isn't there stuff like way cheaper?
Yeah, it is. It's also in bulk.
Yeah, okay.
It's in bulk.
Wow, that's because obviously I know Costco, but I didn't know you had to have a membership to be in there.
I actually didn't know that either, to be honest.
Yeah.
And a face scanner, we just cop that now. If you had said, I need to scan your face in the year 2000, you would have been like, no chance.
10 years it comes out, everyone's getting chipped up. Are you doing it?
I think it'll just be like, whatever the zeitgeist
early
is.
Early days then. Are you going to, would you be like, yeah, I'll do it?
No, not now. No, nah. I don't think so. Like, whatever the zeitgeist is, like, everyone pretends like, you know, for example, things that happened that were bad in the past and they pretend like, I wouldn't have done that. It's like, no, no. You always do what your culture is usually socially acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if that becomes socially acceptable, I'm sure I'll be like, oh, you know what? Who? It's like, for example, like, yeah, our phones, like,
they get or they it. Force you into it. Like, if you physically have to you go have to in somewhere it, yeah. or use it, then you're done.
But like our phones, for example, like this, is a tracking device. Like we, like people that think, oh, I'm not gonna do this or sign up to that because I don't want them to have my information. Bruh, it is too late.
You know what I've noticed recently? Late. Like I don't carry my wallet anymore. It's done.
Yeah, I don't have a wallet. I haven't for ages.
It's just cards on it's the phone. It's all digital. No cash.
And so like people go, oh, you know, like I'm sure there's people in, like, let's say in 50 years, the government has like overreached and they've got too much power. They're going to look back at us and go, oh, I never would have given my information to all of those social media platforms. I never would have carried that phone around everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they would have said they were different, but you're not. You're just, whatever your culture is, usually what the general populace thinks, you will go along with. And you can look at bad situations of that. Like, you know, you look at the world wars and you'd be like, I can't believe this country did this. But any big population can get brainwashed into doing anything. Like we're herd mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a herd mentality. We, like, people try to, like, for some reason forget, like, we're animals. When, like, humans are not some kind of weird different species that are like obvious, like that we're uniquely above animal instincts. We are animals. And so, yeah, I don't know how. Oh yeah, the face scans. Anyway, who gives a shit?
Cash is the big one there. Like, I got a, it shows how times have changed. I got a haircut and they only accept
I've seen that. That's a sharp comb over you got.
Yeah, it's normally a huge mess. But anyway, it was cash only. And I was like, fuck.
Cash only?
Oh, really?
Yeah, a bit
dodgy. Don't say where it is.
Yeah, I won't say it. But they'll get in trouble, yeah. So I paid them $50 and they gave me $15 change. I walked out and I actually thought, what the fuck am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
So I just went to Kmart, bought some socks, and then... Because I was like, otherwise it'll be in my wallet forever. And then I was like lining up and then they're like, oh no, you have to go to the cash area. So then I had to wait with the elderly people to pay in cash. It was outrageous.
Yeah. And you've got, and we're getting into conspiracy areas here, but like you've got people like, oh, this, they're trying to get us into digital, you know, they'll control our lives more. Oh, bruh, it is too late.
It's
bruh.
Over.
It's over.
Yeah.
If you think that you're going to roll around, like, because like I did see people like going, oh, you got to get cash out. Cash is king. Money is only what we all agree it is. It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not connected to gold anymore. It's literally just a piece of paper. Like, for example, what inherently, when I give you a $5 note, what is inherently means that's $5? Other than me and you agree it's $5.
Nothing.
Literally nothing. Yeah. It's a piece of plastic. And so like the people that go, oh, we're going to go digital, they're going to control us. Bro, they could control us regardless. Whether we go cash or digital, it's over, bro.
I agree it gives them more control, but I don't want cash.
But the thing is, it doesn't give them more control because like, okay, cash. Let's say a subset of the population goes, we're just going cash. How could you disconnect yourself from society enough to make it work? You couldn't. You just get railroaded straight back into the, like, it's too late, bruh. It's too fucking late.
And what's funny is money becomes just numbers you punch into a computer and it's endless.
It's it's just too late, man. Like we are too connected digitally to the cat's out of the bag. It's like AI, the cat's out of the bag, unless we regulate the shit out of it. But then some country will just go, oh yeah, yeah, we're going to regulate it. And they're just going to keep going down the AI path because they could, you know, potentially use it to fucking dominate another country. So cat's out of the bag. We're done. It's over. Pack her up. That's why it's called pack her up. We're done. But anyway, let's talk about a bit of fucking rugby league. Who you got, Melbourne versus Doggies?
Oh, mate, you know I got to back Melbourne Storm. I don't know if the Dogs can go down there and get it done, so.
You know the Dogs have the best winning percentage against the Melbourne Storm?
Yeah, well, especially in that era when they had a few good battles, but.
They beat them last year down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They're just down troops. I think Melbourne are going to pump them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're paying $670. Oof.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wonder what 13 plus is paying for. Just get on it just for a bit of fun. yeah, Storm. Broncos, Dolphins. Dolphins paying $320. That is
value.
That is juicy as shit. That is very juicy.
I like Dolphins with the start.
Hey?
I think the 6.5 start. I like Dolphins with the start. I think it's going to be close, as.
Sure, that's six and... like 6.5, can that change? Can that go out?
Oh, you can. That's what they put, but you can put whatever you want.
Can they change it?
Yeah,
that changes.
Well, let me actually, it was 6.5. Let me.
Because that's what I was going to say. Surely it's not 6.5 anymore. They're fucking paying 320.
What the hell is
it? It'd be out to like 10, wouldn't it?
Sorry, one sec. Just had the wrong.
Yeah, 320. Surely 6.5 is fucking, massive unders there. If it's they're paying $3.20.
It is. I'll say the line's 8.5 now.
8.5. Close. My guess was 10. Mm. 8.5 is juicy.
Yeah, yeah, juicy. I'm all over that.
Broncos head-to-head for me, though. Warriors v. the Seagulls. Seagulls paying 271. I know it's away in New Zealand.
That's value, as.
I reckon that's
not bad. Value. They could definitely get it done.
Because, like, look how good their attack is.
Yeah.
I'm going Warriors head-to-head. I actually did put a cheeky... If you follow me on feed, as I said, guys, follow me on feed. I did put a cheeky bet on Manly Seagulls 13+. It was paying $7.75 at the time. Ooh. The only reason why I did it is because, like, let's say Warriors have an off night. We know... Manly, when their attack clicks, it fucking clicks. Mm. I have Warriors head-to-head, but a bit juicy there, that 13+ for me. But make sure to follow me on feed, guys. It takes 2 seconds, literally 2 seconds of your time to press follow. And it's actually a really good metric as well to continue our partnership with Sportsbet going forward.
Dogs 13+ is paying $21.
Oof. I mean, there's like essentially 0.001 chance of that happening. But okay, Eels versus Cowboys. Eels paying $2.34, Cowboys $1.61.
I'm going to back Cowboys. I just can't get around the Eels at the moment, eh?
Yeah, they're just without Mitch Moses.
So disappointing, man.
Yeah,
Rabbitohs, Sharks. Rabbitohs paying $3.70.
Oh, that's...
It's pretty juicy.
That is
with juicy. Everything going on in that club right now.
There's a little juicy multi, I reckon, that's worth it.
Actually, you're right. If you went a juicy multi, if you went...
Manly.
Okay, no, you go Dolphins.
Yep.
Manly.
Yep.
Into Rabbitohs. Like... You're looking at it. That's a juicy
That's
man.
Nice.
That's a fucking very nice. I'm going to actually chuck that on I'm gonna later.
It's paying $32.
Oh, get around it, boys. Okay. Sharks head dead for me, though. Tigers, Dragons. $1.87 Tigers, $1.97 Dragons. I'm going Dragons.
I'm going Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going Tigers.
Okay. Raiders, Titans.
Raiders.
Raiders 13+, for sure.
Sad. I'm surprised Titans are only 327, if I'm being honest. It's Raiders home ground.
I can't believe Raiders minus 8.5 is paying $1.90. Like, that's
what are Raiders 13+?
$2.20.
Oh, take that. Chuck that in the multi.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a bad. That's a bit juicy. Very juicy. Very juicy indeed.
If you add it to the juicy multi, you're getting 70.
Oh, stop it.
70.
Yeah, if you the three that we said before plus Raiders 13+.
Bruh.
You're getting 70.
Yeah.
So it jumped from 30 something to 70.
Yeah, because it's 220, so it effectively doubled. Yeah.
That's good.
That is very, very cheeky. Very cheeky stuff, that. Alrighty, that is us done and done. Pack her up, boys. Make sure to give Shandorel a follow on Instagram. Anything else going on for you?
No.
That's very depressing. Very depressing.
West, get it. Come and join me. I'm actually coaching the sessions too, Russ.
Well, if you're out west, where is it at again?
Rouse Hill, just down from the Fiddler, next to the brewery, all the hot spots that everyone knows.
Okay,
Grouse Hill. Rhinos. Rouse Hill Rhinos.
Grouse Hill.
Grouse Hill.
Grouse Hill. So make sure to get in there, guys. Say hi to the great Shandor and grab a case of bloke beer. Also, give us a follow on feed. We can't let AFL win, guys. Come on, let's be serious around. Let's be serious. And as usual, I'll go and fuck myself. Thank you.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.